Happy Father's Day. If you're visiting with us this morning, you may look around and see a lot of bow ties. There were a lot more before you got here. Oh, heard something. Anyway, there were a lot more before you got here, and some of them have already taken them off and given them to Nathan. But if I was visiting this morning and I looked around and saw all of these bow ties, I'd be a little creeped out, just a little bit maybe, and just what is going on with this church and all these bow ties. Today is Nathan's, our associate pastor's last Sunday with us. He is leaving us as an associate to take on a senior pastor role in Bologna. So we are so proud of him, and he is the bow tie guy. And so that's why you're seeing so many bow ties this morning. And so you don't have to be creeped out. Anyway, we're so glad you're here. If you would stand with us as we start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, Father, most of all, for sending your Son to die for our sins, so that we could freely gather in this place and say that we are free indeed, because you have set us free. We love you and we worship you. We pray that you would just fill this place with your Spirit this morning, that you would be high and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let the lost man say, I am found in you. can see again. If a dead man saying I am born again. Oh, let the river flow. The poor man say I am rich in him. The lost man say I am found in him. Oh, let the river flow. Let the blind man say I can see again. Let the dead man say I am born again. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow.
You guys can have a seat. Thank you. We want to invite you, if it hasn't happened already, there will be a tennis pad going along the rows, and we invite you to fill that out. Let us know that you were here so we can lift you up in prayer during the week. A lot of announcements going on, a lot of things happening here at Asbury. You can actually go online and register your child for Vacation Bible School, which is coming up in July. So we want to invite you to do that. Registration is open, and it is free. That's the word of the day. Free.
Jesus conquered the grave.
tears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. Let's stand and sing this. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Sing for the glory of a risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole
can have a seat. Thank you.
Good morning. If I have some friends come forward. Just have a seat. Because we need a little room. I need a little room. All right. How's everybody doing? How's your summer going? Good. Good. Have y'all been swimming? Good. Did you? Very good, Molly. Yes, Van.
When I was swimming, I was swimming belly flops.
Belly flops. Yay. All right. All right. I need six. Five. Five volunteers. Sorry, I had to count a little bit. All right. Andrew. Lacey. Emily. Van. And Jackson. All right, I need all of y'all to turn your stand in a line. Here we go. Stand up straight. Okay, Jackson, you go down just a little bit. One, two, three, four. Van, you don't want to do it? I need a volunteer. Okay, Madeline. Actually, why don't y'all scoot back just a little bit, okay? All right, here we go. Jackson, you stand right here. Claire, move just a little tidbit so you don't get stepped on. Okay, one. Lacey, gotta stand up. Two. Three. Four. Let's get back just a little bit. All right, guys. Here's the deal. I'm going to give you something, okay? But you can't say what's on your sheet of paper until I turn it around, until I tell you to turn around. Okay, got it? Okay. I need one more volunteer. Okay. All right, Elena. All right. No. Okay. Okay, guys. here's your help that I need for everybody else. You ready? Okay. What's going to happen is they've got something on their piece of paper. Okay? And they're, Andrew, don't give them the secret. Okay? And I need your help. Okay, ready? Here we go. Give me a F. Very good. Got it? Okay. F is for forgiving. Because this person forgives you. Fish too. That's right. F, because they're forgiving. This person is forgiving for everything that you do. Okay? Here we go. Lacey, turn around. Give me an A. This person is for attentive. This person, yes, Apple too. This person is attentive to everything that you do. Okay? Next one. Give me a T. This is a teacher. This person's a teacher. This person teaches you how to do things in every kind of capacity. Next is, give me a H. H is for helpful. They are helpful for you in-house. Yes. They are, okay, we're already on H. We're on house. So, but they're helpful in everything, in every way to help you do things and to learn things. Okay, next is E for energetic. This person is, they've got energy. They're just crazy with you. They run and all kinds of things. They're energetic. Last one is R. This is for ready. They're ready to do whatever they need to do with you. What is that spell? Faithful. It spells father. Because today, sorry. Because today is?
Father's Day.
That's right. But you know what? We have fathers here. But you know what? Who is our most wonderful father of all? Daddies. But also, we have a father above, God, who is forgiving, who is attentive, who is what? Teacher, who is helpful, who is energetic, helps us be energetic, and who is ready. Because you know what? Not only do our loving fathers love us here on earth, but God loves us too. Okay? So today, be thankful for your father, but also be thankful for the God above that loves you very much every single day. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for our fathers. Help us this day to show our love and appreciation to our fathers, and may we always remember to thank you, our Heavenly Father. Amen. All right, if you're ready to go to Kids Club, you can meet us in the back. Thank you.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, we have opportunity to give God all that we have and all that we are. We have opportunity to express to God our entire lives as we go to God in prayer. This morning, I invite you to turn on the back of the worship bulletin to look at our prayer concerns that are listed, and we also want to remember those that go unlisted this day as well. Let us join together as we go to God in prayer. Holy and loving God, it is because of you that we are here in this place. For we have come to worship you and to sing of our love for you and to speak of our love for you. We have come to be with you this day. Oh God, we give you thanks that indeed you are our Father. That though we stumble and though we fall, though we have our faults, you still love us. And even though we think we run from you, you pursue us. For this we give you thanks and we give you praise. That no matter where we go, there you are, with arms wide open, ready to receive us. Oh Lord, we give you thanks for your grace and for your love and for your mercy. On this day, oh God, we ask that your Spirit would strengthen us, that your Spirit would empower us to be your disciples in this world. Oh Lord, we give you thanks for how in the past you have indeed strengthened and empowered us. And we look forward into the future, that your Spirit will always be there for us, will always be out ahead of us at work in your world, calling us forward that we might do your work. So help us to trust you, O God, to put our faith in you, that you indeed are good, that you indeed are worthy to be praised and worthy to be followed. O Lord, on this day we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into our world that we might know who you are. We give you thanks that through your Son we have a full picture of you, our Father. On this day, O God, we ask that you would be with us, that your Spirit would inhabit our hearts as we bring our requests unto you. For we know that we can come before you, laying all that we have before your altar, and that you are a gracious and kind God, that you care for us, and that you are at work. And so on this day, O God, we give you all those things that burden us, that occupy our minds and our hearts, knowing that your Spirit will be at work in our lives, bringing hope where hope is needed and healing where healing is needed. Oh Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise. So by your Spirit, teach us and mold us and make us to be your disciples in this world. Allow our lives to radiate your love and your grace and your life out into your world. Again, strengthen us by your Spirit, the Spirit of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are indeed a blessed people, people who have experienced God's grace in mighty ways, and we have opportunity again and again to give back to God a portion of what God has given to us. Today, as we take up our morning offering, I invite you to give with joyous hearts, and also want to draw to your attention that our Vacation Bible School is coming up soon, and Daniel mentioned that it is free, and part of the reason it is free is because so many people have given so much to ensure that can happen. You'll find a bulletin board in the children's area with various items that you can pick up and donate, and this one in particular is 50 small paper cups. If you'd be willing to donate an item like that for our Vacation Bible School, as we continue in the spirit of offering, I invite you after the service to go pick one of those up. Let us continue to praise God this morning.
Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. What can wash Fires and grace, tools of the Father's heart, to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, not earthly confidence.
As was normal, every morning when I get up, I get up and turn on my iPhone, and I read the paper on my iPhone. And this morning I got up, and there was a news article. I don't know if you saw it in the paper, but there's a news article about YouTube. YouTube recently has had quite a number of hits on their page. In fact, they're trying to figure out where it all is coming from, but the hits on the page were all about how do you tie a bow tie? Pastors sadly sometimes lie, but in all seriousness, it is an honor of mine to serve this congregation, to be a part of this congregation. And lo and behold, I was surprised when I walked in this morning. There was a conspiracy going on that all these gentlemen and women were all wearing bow ties when I got here this morning, and I really appreciated that. On your last sermon, you always wonder, what in the world do you say? What can you say that sums up or that has a word for the people as you go? What do you say? So I decided that when I was thinking about this, well, since I get to do whatever I want on this day, well, kind of, I'll just preach on my favorite subject. And I think in doing so, we'll hear a word from God. One of my favorite characters is the character of Ezekiel, out of the Old Testament, out of the book of Ezekiel. So I invite you, if you have your Bible with you, to turn to Ezekiel. Our scripture passage will also appear before you here. Probably should have made that a little bit bigger, shouldn't I? Well, you can listen to it anyways. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There, water was flowing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east. And the water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around to the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And the water was coming out on the south side. Going on eastward with a cord in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water. It was ankle deep. And again, he measured 1,000 cubits and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river that I could not cross. For the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in. a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Mortal, have you seen this?" Then he led me back along the bank of the river. As I came back, I saw the bank of the river, on the bank of the river, great and many trees on one side and on the other. He said to me, "The water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, into the desert. And when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the water will become fresh. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be many fish once these waters reach there. It will become fresh, and everything will live where the river goes." This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your word and for the opportunity we have to hear and to speak your word. And we give you thanks for this place and for the opportunity that we have to worship you. Oh Lord, we ask that your spirit would be among us, that your spirit would enlighten our hearts and our minds, that we might know you, that we might follow you more faithfully in the world in this time. Oh God, may your word be implanted in our hearts, that it might grow and bear much fruit. And allow my words to be your words, and my heart your heart. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. The prophet Ezekiel is a very interesting and eccentric character. For those of you who don't know much about the prophet Ezekiel, he does some pretty interesting things in his life. He's very interesting. At one point in his life, he shaves his entire head. I like him. At one point in time, he's picked up by his hair and taken to Israel. That will probably never happen for me. But the prophet Ezekiel is a very interesting character in the scriptures. If we go back to the very beginning of the book, don't worry, I'm not going to go through all 47 chapters. But if we go back to the very beginning of the book of Ezekiel, we learn that Ezekiel is in exile when he begins his ministry. He's away from his homeland, from all that he knows, because the Babylonian Empire has taken him into exile. Now, if you remember, or if you don't know much about Israel's history, in the early 600s BC, the Babylonian Empire rose to power in the Middle Eastern region. And Egypt at the time was a great power. And yet the Babylonian Empire defeated the Egyptian Empire at a battle called the Battle of Carchemish in 605 BC. And they were led by a king, King Nebuchadnezzar, who defeated the Egyptians and then rose to power. Now, it just so happened that Israel, or Judah at the time, the southern part of Judah, was a supporter of Egypt. Now, when you're a supporter of the opposing team and you lose, probably not very good news for you. And it just so happens it wasn't very good news for Israel, for Judah. In fact, what ended up happening was Judah became a vassal state of the Babylonian Empire, meaning they had to pay a whole lot of money to Babylon in order to stay solidified. And yet, Judah did not appreciate being under foreign rule by the Babylonians. And eventually, they revolted against Babylon. And in 598 BCE, Judah was destroyed. Now, a part of this destruction, a part of this was exile. Babylon was very smart in the way that they operated. They decided what they would do is take all the important people, all the rulers and powers, those who held authority in Israel, and deport them somewhere else so another revolt would not happen. So Babylon exiled many of the craftsmen, the king, and even the priests. And it just so happens that Ezekiel was one of those individuals who was deported away from his homeland, who witnessed his homeland destroyed, and he was deported into Babylon. So we find Ezekiel at the very beginning of his book, sitting by a river, the river Shebar, sitting there hoping, that he might hear a word from God, hoping that he might hear some good news about Judah, hoping that God just might show up. And God shows up. But to Ezekiel's surprise, he doesn't show up the way that he wants him to show up. Rather, Ezekiel is picked up at the very beginning of the book and said, "You're going to speak my words, Ezekiel." And Ezekiel enters into ministry because God says, "I will use you in this land, in this foreign land, to speak my words." Little does Ezekiel know what that will mean. For you would think that a prophet in exile would want to kind of stay under the radar, would not want to cause a lot of ruckus in a foreign place. And yet God makes him do some very bizarre and public things. In one instance, Ezekiel is handed the scriptures, is handed a scroll from God and is told, "Ezekiel, you need to eat this. You need to eat this book." Of course, you know, he was probably thinking, "Oh yeah, you know, I get it. I'll read it. It'll be good." No, God says you need to literally digest this book. And so Ezekiel eats the book as a sign that he is embodying the very word of God. God wants the people to know that Ezekiel is one who will embody the word, who will live by the word, who will gain sustenance by the very word of God. Another time, God tells Ezekiel, "Go out into the city and build a little miniature city. Take your Legos out and build it up and make it look like old Jerusalem. And what I want you to do, Ezekiel, is to go and to lay down by that city, to lay on your side, and to hold a skillet, an iron skillet, and lay there for 390 days. That's over a year. For 390 days, I want you to lay there with this skillet as a sign of the impending danger that is coming to Jerusalem. That the Babylonians are going to come back and sack the city completely. And I want you to lay there for a while to be a picture of what is to come." Ezekiel's picked up by his hair often, and he's taken into Jerusalem. And there he witnesses, after the destruction of Jerusalem, he witnesses a desolate land, a broken land, a land that is weary from warfare and destruction. He witnesses a temple that has been torn down, where other gods have been praised in that place and other animals sacrificed in that place. Desecrated, a desecrated place. And yet, what Ezekiel hopes in all these visions and all these bizarre steps that he has to take and doing all these weird things is he hopes, he prays that in doing these crazy and ridiculous things that the people of God might know and see the wonder of their God. He hopes that by embodying the very word of God, that the people might come to know once again this God that they had so often forgotten. He hopes by all these things that they might be transformed and reformed, even though they are in exile, that they might be made new. You see, the people in exile and people in Babylon, many of them had hopes of returning home. They had hopes of going back to their homes eventually, of maybe working out an agreement with Babylon that they might be able to return back. In fact, they had hopes of turning back to the way things have always been. They had hopes that when they returned home, that they would be able to reestablish the Davidic kingdom. That they would be able to reestablish the way things used to be and always be. They had hopes that, oh, if things would be just the way they were, it would be good. And yet what Ezekiel hopes is that through his ministry, they might see a new and different future. You see, the people of Israel in exile preferred homeostasis. Have you all ever heard of the word homeostasis? Yeah, I probably remember it maybe in biology at some point in time. Homeostasis, there you go. Keep calm and maintain homeostasis. Homeostasis, if you know, is a process, whether it is an organism or a system of organisms, which seek stability and balance. If you think about it in terms of the human body is always seeking homeostasis. It's always seeking to regulate itself, whether in terms of temperature or blood sugar or something. It's always seeking to regulate itself. My body seeks to regulate itself right now. I'm sweating up here. Trying to find homeostasis, balance, stability, safety. If we're honest about our lives, if we're honest about the way that we live and operate in the world, we prefer homeostasis. We prefer predictability. We prefer stability and balance. And when something in our lives begin to tip and begin to alter, we want to return back to balance, back to homeostasis, back to the way things operate well. We prefer homeostasis. I have to be honest, when our district superintendent called our house, my heart sunk. Actually, I think I was here at work. My heart sunk because I preferred stability. I preferred balance. I didn't want things to change necessarily. And yet, what we learn about homeostasis is that it is very hard for a system that tries to always seek homeostasis to move forward. Often it remains the same, never changing, never moved, never different. You see, what often happens in homeostasis is that we only take in the immediate concerns and circumstances. And we fail to see a much larger picture and system, a much larger world around us. The book of Ezekiel, it's not about homeostasis, but rather it's about one of my favorite words, apokatastasis. Now, somebody told me when they saw the title of the sermon, they said, oh, great, he's just going to, you know, preach over our heads, and then we'll say to ourselves, yeah, it probably really was time for him to go. Probably was. Yeah, he's just going to. Apokatastasis. It literally means to remake, renew, or reestablish the way things used to be, but only better. Only better. The great theologian by the name of Gregory of Nyssa once talked about apokatastasis like the refinement of gold. When you get gold, in its most basic form, when you get it out of the ground or wherever you find it, I don't find it very often, but when you find gold, it's not in a very pure form most often, but rather other elements have joined themselves to gold. In order to produce pure gold, though, it has to go through a refinement process. And what happens typically is that gold is melted down. It's brought to a very high temperature until it becomes a liquid. And then in that liquid form, there are other chemicals that are added to the process. And those other chemicals begin to draw out all that impurity, all those things that are not supposed to be there, that are not very good, they do not produce pure gold. And when those chemicals sit in there, and when they draw those things out, then the gold is brought back to room temperature. And there it is formed, and it becomes a more pure form of gold. Gregory of Nyssa compared apokatastasis to this refining of gold, to allow our lives to become malleable, to allow God to work and refine and reform in us, so that when we are reestablished, though we come back to this place of stability, it is a whole and new and pure place, a whole and new and different and good place to be brought back, but only better. You see, Ezekiel saw a vision of Israel. In our scripture passage today, he again was picked up by the hair. Only this time, he was dropped near the temple. And though he had seen destruction over the past few years and seen these visions of the temple destroyed, he was walked up to the temple, and there he went into the temple, and from the altar he noticed something. His companion pointed out and said, do you see the water bubbling up from the temple, up from the altar? And Ezekiel noticed that the water began to bubble up, and he walked a few more thousand cubits. And he noticed that what that little spring was bubbling up had suddenly become just a little stream, only ankle deep. And then he walked another thousand cubits, and he noticed that that river or that water that once was just a little stream began to gush and to begin to pour forth from the altar. And then it was knee deep. And then he went further, and it was waist deep. And then he went further, and it was so deep he couldn't cross the river. And he noticed that all along this desolate wasteland, all along these places that were broken and weary, and where there seemed to be no life, where the river was going, life was springing up all around it. New life was being brought forth from that river, the river of the place where God was seated on the throne, flowing out from the altar. New life was being pushed forward out into the world. So while the people were in exile, while they were sitting by the river Shabar, thinking of their homeland, hoping that they would return one day, Ezekiel said, I see a vision. I see a vision of a new day. But it's unlike any other day you could ever think or imagine. Because God is going to do something in this place. Back in your home, God is going to do something. He's going to cause not homeostasis, but apokatastasis. The world is going to be remade and renewed. And it's going to happen because God's grace is at work in this world. Not because I am the prophet. Not because of what I can do, said Ezekiel. But because that God is the one who is faithful and just. That where the river flows, where the grace of God flows, new life will spring up. Brothers and sisters, it has been an honor and a joy and a pleasure to be your pastor. It has been beyond my imagination what it could be like in ministry when I have entered into this place. You let a foreigner come into your house, a Tennessean. A volunteer at that. And every now and then I'll say Woo-Pig-Suey. And yet you welcome me with open arms. And the one thing I've noticed is that the river that Ezekiel talks about is already bubbling up in this place. That the new life which Ezekiel speaks about is already found in this place. And it's already flowing out of this congregation, of the lives of those represented here. For I've seen the Spirit of God move in this place in mighty ways. And I've seen the river of life flow through all of you in great ways. So if I have one thing left to say to you, go where the river goes. Go where the river goes and go as hard as you can to follow it. For where the river is, there is new life. Where the river is, there is hope. And where the river is, there is peace. So live into God's good work and stand by the fountain of God always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
You're the one that guides my heart.
A favor for me, if you could reach out to your neighbor on your left and on your right, if you could grab their hand, and if you could reach across the aisle, that would be good. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Spirit of God flows in this place and flows through each and every one of you. So go in the power of that Spirit as a congregation. And go into the world, spotting signs where that river is flowing, and be in ministry to those who need it. Go in peace. Amen.